So today we're going to start the book of Romans. So Romans chapter 1, you know, these scriptures here, this letter that Paul wrote to Romans, it's a famous letter. In fact, this is the scripture we'll get to. I think it's verse 17, where it says, "For it is in the righteousness of faith God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." He quotes the prophet Habakkuk right there. But that's the scripture that Martin Luther, the famous German monk who started the Protestant Reformation, that's the scripture that opened his eyes that we're saved by faith and not by works. And then he wrote a commentary on the book of Romans. Martin Luther did. And when John Wesley, who started the great revival, the Wesleyan revival, it spread all over England. Some of you guys know his testimony, but he was a missionary, wasn't even saved. And he was reading this commentary on Romans, and when he read that verse, his commentary says his letters say that his heart was strangely warmed, and he felt the work of grace in his heart, and he got saved reading this passage right here. So this is a famous portion of scripture. Paul really lays out what it means to be saved. Okay, and so he's writing this letter to the church in Rome. He hasn't been there yet. And in fact, when he ends up finally getting there, we see in the book of Acts, he goes as a Roman prisoner. He doesn't get to go as he had hoped. And so in verse 1, it says, "Paul, a bondservant." And that word bondservant, it means a slave. So when he's writing to these guys, as he says, "I'm a slave of Jesus Christ," it had meaning to them. There were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And he says, "I'm a slave of Jesus Christ." This word "called," right here in the first 7 verses, you see this word "called" 3 times. And so just think about, the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. You know, we're all called of Jesus Christ. He says, "I'm a bondservant. I'm called to be an apostle." Apostle means one sent on a mission. Look at this word, separated to the gospel. That was his calling. He was called to be an apostle. He was separated, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The prophets, you know, there's many of the Psalms are messianic Psalms. Many of the prophets, you know, spoke of Christ. Isaiah 1:18, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 55. If you read those portions in Isaiah, I mean, it's just, you know, these are hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ came to the earth. It's giving a picture of him and just graphic detail of what he's going to do and what he's going to look like. And he was the fulfillment of prophecy. So but they didn't see clearly. They just saw that God gave them, you know, a picture of Christ, and they wrote about it. These prophets, the Bible says, through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. That was his lineage through David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I like how instead of the Holy Spirit, he says Spirit of holiness, and that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do, a work of holiness in our life from the inside out. The resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience, when God does his work of grace in our hearts, the first step is going to be obeying in faith. He's going to ask you to take a step of obedience. Verse 6, among whom you also are the called. There's that word called again. the call of Jesus Christ. We have to answer that call of God in our lives. And then verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, call to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was Paul's, that was kind of his introduction. And then he talks about wanting to go to Rome and visit them. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ to you all that your faith is spoken of throughout all the whole world. What a great testimony. What if our faith, Celebration Church faith, was spoken of on the other side of the world? People saw our faith, or even as believers, they saw our faith, living in faith. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul, he didn't just write a book on doctrine, but he lived out what he believed, being faithful to pray and to take risk and to live in faith. Verse 10, making request if by some means now, at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. He wants to come visit this church in Rome. He says, for I long to see you. You know, Paul had a pastor, so I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles. You know, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was sent to the Jews. Paul to the Gentiles. He says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. He felt this debt. He felt this calling that he had to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Verse 15, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This is one of my favorite verses in Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, sometimes you'll feel, you know, like an outsider. Sometimes you'll feel like an outcast. You may be the only one at school or work or in your family even, but the Bible says here, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's where the power of God is going to come from, the power of a changed life. That gospel not only brings us eternal life, but that same good news, that same gospel, it brings power to change our lives, every area of our life. That's the life-changing power of the gospel, the good news. Christ working in us and through us. That's the gospel of Christ. And it's for everyone who believes. No matter what our skin color is or our demographic, everyone on the earth, it's for everyone who wants to repent and turn to the cross. That's the power of the gospel. And then verse 17, the famous verse, for it is in the righteousness of God. For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed. That word righteousness 60 times is in the New Testament. And it's not from works. The righteousness of God is revealed how? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He quotes the prophet Habakkuk here, Habakkuk 2:4. That prophet's quoted three times in the New Testament, that same Old Testament scripture, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's not according to works. It's only according to faith. We can't earn any type of favor with God through good works. It's only in believing in faith. And if you get stuck in works, legalism, you'll be condemned. You'll be in bondage. It starts with a work of faith, and then that works in you. Good works is a fruit of our faith. And so one of the things of faith, when we talk about living by faith, one of the things I want to bring out here is we'll finish up this rest of this chapter. But one of the things about living by faith, you know, sometimes we get an idea of faith. It's real mystical, and you know, we try to conjure up faith for things, and And, you know, people have different understandings of faith and what it means to believe God for things. And everybody's on their own journey with that. And God has people in different seasons. And we certainly walk by faith in areas, for sure. You know, when you think about faith, sometimes you think about believing God for a job or believing God for finances, or you're in adversity and you don't see anything in the natural and you want to have eyes to see through faith, or you're believing for someone to know the Lord. I mean, all those are real, and all that's a part of it, right? But think about this. The prophet Habakkuk, he says, the just shall live by faith. Okay? And in the Old Testament, it was a different, you know, dispensation, right? It wasn't about just believing things like we try to do here in America. But it really was more tied to the idea of faithfulness. You don't see the answers, but you're just going to be faithful to what God's called you to do. Now think about this. The just shall live by faith. And that means you may not see everything that you're looking for, but you're just going to, it's really more tied to faithfulness. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The just shall be faithful. Can we just be faithful to God, faithful to His calling, faithful to our wives, our children, faithful to Jesus, faithful to keep doing what we need to do? We don't have all the answers. We can't always believe and have enough faith, but we can be faithful. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The just shall just be faithful. Just live by faith. Be faithful to the calling of God every day. As you get up every day, you're faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to your wife, faithful to in the spiritual disciplines, just to keep walking with God. Can you see how you may not always say, I just don't have enough faith to believe this big thing. I'm just not there. But you know what? You can be faithful. Amen? The just shall live by faith. And then in verses 18 through 32, Paul starts, you know, this portion of Scripture, it's actually the downward spiral of mankind. It's not very encouraging. It's the downward spiral of the human heart. Okay, but we see that mankind separated from God goes south quick. Okay? And it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That word suppress means you hold down, you suppress it. People, they don't want to know the truth. Even though the Bible is going to, let's read on. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So all over the earth, man, the Bible says, they see the creation, and they know there's a God. They know that they didn't create the earth. And so deep in our hearts, we see the creation, and we know that there's a creator. That's in, the Bible says, eternity is written on the hearts of men. They see that. They see that there's a creator, but the Bible says they don't want to move any further. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want to seek after that truth. They suppress it. They hold it in. And then it says in verse, so there's, you know, we think we're smarter than God is what happens. We know in our hearts, we know there's a creator, but we think that we're smarter than just pursuing that and worshiping the creator. We start to worship our own selves is what he's going to talk about. He says, they're without excuse. He says, clearly, we see the creation, and we know that there's a God, even a Godhead. Verse 21, because although they knew God, so wasn't it they didn't know that there was a God? But they didn't want to glorify Him. They and and they weren't thankful. And what's the result of not choosing to worship the Creator and bringing Him the glory He deserves? This is the result. The Bible says, your thoughts became futile. You think you're becoming more smart and more intelligent, but instead, your thoughts are pitiful and weak because they're so far off track. And the Bible says, your foolish hearts are darkened. So you get a weak mind and a dark heart when you don't worship the Creator. You hold out, you see the earth, you see the beautiful creation, and it's supposed to point you to a Creator. Instead, we repress that truth, and what happens is we get weak minds and a darkened, foolish heart. So we lose our intelligence. We lose our intelligence. And then, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They weren't thankful. They became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. We lose our intelligence. We become ignorant. Our hearts are darkened. Our minds are futile. And then verse 22, think about this. Man has not become any smarter. In fact, we've become more foolish in many ways. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. The first thing that he says is into an image made like corruptible man. And that's idolatry, because we choose to worship. Instead of worshiping the Creator, we worship ourselves. We make ourselves into a god. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, we're created to worship something. And we're supposed to be drawn to worship the Creator, but when we don't do that, the worship turns to our own selves. It says, an image made in corruptible man. We start to worship our own selves. We lose our intelligence. We become ignorant of the truth. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but without a foundation of truth, you're just going to go in circles. And then he says in verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And so we lose our intelligence, we become ignorant, and then the next easy step, ignorant idolatry, the next easy step is indulgence. Because if you don't believe there's a God, there's no accountability. You're worshiping yourself, you can do anything you want. Why not live for pleasure, indulgence? It says, the lust, their foolish hearts are darkened. Verse 24, the lust of their hearts, they dishonor their bodies among themselves. When you're your own God, you can do whatever you want to fulfill your pleasures. Verse 25, you could circle this word, exchanged. It's what the enemy, from the very Garden of Eden, it's what he wants to do. He wants to exchange the truth of God for a lie. That's the same lie he told Eve. Exchange the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Speaking about lesbianism. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Verse 28, so you can see the downward spiral. It's not a very encouraging passage, but it's the truth. And it says in verse 28, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them up to a debased mind. That you could start with that word debased. It means reprobate. It means lacking judgment. And you call what's right, what's wrong, right, and what's right, wrong. The Bible says God gives them, they're going down this path. They exchange the truth of God for a lie, and the Bible says God just gives them up, gives them over to these vile passions. And what happens is they don't know wrong from right and right from wrong. And the Bible says they have a reprobate mind. That means lacking judgment. That means you don't even know what's wrong or right anymore. God gives you over to that, and you can't even discern truth anymore. Can you see some of this happening in America? Have you seen some of this happen in our own culture? The Bible says God gives them over to a debased mind. You're given over to it. You say, how can you believe that? God just lets you go. He lets you believe that. You're not repentant. You don't worship the Creator. You're not repentant. You're impenitent. You're not repenting anymore. So God just lets, he gives you over to that. So that course is going to take its place. And then he just lists the rest of this passage. He just lists all these sins. Okay, I'll just read these and we'll say a prayer together, okay? He lists all these sins. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. Idolatry will always lead to sexual immorality. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Sometimes I read this list and, you know, there's a spirit of lawlessness on the earth, an antichrist spirit that pulls people away from Christ. And you say, well, I don't hate my parents and, you know, I haven't murdered anybody. But, you know, you can see the spirit of lawlessness working in the hearts of men and women and even trying to get a grasp in our own hearts. The spirit of lawlessness on the earth, the antichrist spirit. And this is what he wants to do. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing, it's not that we don't know the truth. It's not that creation doesn't point us to God. It's not that we don't know that one day there'll be a judgment. It says, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And look at this last portion. Sometimes this is very convicting because it says, not only do we do the same, but approve of those who practice them. I think the King James, I'm not sure what the King James version says, but one translation might be the King James says, they take pleasure. Not only do people do them, but they take pleasure or approve in those who do them. How many of you know as Christians, when we see these ungodly things, we should not approve. We shouldn't get entertainment from it. Amen? And many times we do. We need to repent of that. Amen? So I know it was not an uplifting message this morning, but hey, this is the Bible. It's Romans 1, the downward spiral of man. Let's say a prayer together. Here's what I want to pray for us before we break into groups. You know, a part of serving God is a fear of the Lord. The Bible says a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There should be, you don't want to lose your conviction. You don't want to lose the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he's the spirit of holiness in our lives. And if we drift far away from the scriptures and the spirit of holiness in our lives, we're on a slippery slope. We're not far from this downward spiral path. And so I just want to pray for us today, God would just, as we head into Good Friday, this Friday as Jesus went to the cross, God would just restore that fear of the Lord, that conviction in our lives. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, right now we just repent of any sins in our life, anything at all that's displeasing to you. God, we don't want to have a love for this world that's apart from you. We want to love you, Lord Jesus, and your cross, Lord. And right now we just turn away from anything. We don't take pleasure in the entertainment of an ungodly society, God. We take pleasure in righteousness. and holiness, God. Change us from the inside out. God, help us to be point people to you, to see a life that's called and separated for your gospel. God, right now we just pray that you just fill us with your love. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not through good works. It's by faith in the cross. And we just pray that that work of the cross, that grace would change us from the inside out. We would be examples and models for your kingdom today. Only in grace, God, we thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.